Practically Righteous Ministries presents Be the Salt of the Earth with Pastor Michael Packard.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, and Luke chapter 14, verse 35 from the New International Version of the Bible. In the last few programs, I've challenged you to make a paradigm shift, to change your perspective towards your relationship with God and the people around you. I've challenged you to be the love of God to everyone you meet, and to be the light of the world, letting your love and your life be a witness and a testimony of God's faithfulness to you, and sharing the good news with the people around you. Today I'm going to talk about ministry. Today I challenge you to get out of your comfort zone and actively seek to be useful, encouraging, and edifying to everybody you meet. To always be ready to lend a hand to help carry a burden, or a shoulder for someone to lean on, or an ear to listen, or a mouth to let someone know that they are loved and that they matter to you and matter to God. I challenge you to strive to meet every need you can, and to pray for every need that you can't meet. Today I challenge you to be the salt of the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the commission and the opportunity to be the means you use to bless people, to encourage people, and to help people in need get through the tough times. Thank you, Lord, for the message we are about to receive. Lord, I ask you to lift up from our hearts and our minds everything that would get in the way of us receiving the message that you have for us today. And to, by your Holy Spirit and by your word, teach us what we need to learn. Help us, Lord, to let the word transform our hearts and renew our minds so that we can be useful to you and to the people around us. We give you this time and this place. Work your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, for your honor and glory. Amen. The world is filled with people who need help. There are the people that immediately come to mind, the orphans, the sick, the elderly, the homeless, victims of abuse and neglect, drug addicts and alcoholics. There are also countless others that don't come to mind. Your neighbor who doesn't get out much, the waitress that doesn't get your order right, the person grumbling behind you in line at the bank, your boss that always seems angry about something, even the person sitting next to you in church. Everybody has needs. Everybody hurts sometimes. Everybody gets lonely sometimes. Everybody needs to be encouraged, to be assisted, to be shown in a tangible way that they are loved and that they are important to God and have a place in His kingdom. It's the Christian's job to assist, to encourage, and to be a tangible expression of God's love to everyone they encounter. God has uniquely equipped each of us to certain works, and each of us is useful and necessary in His kingdom. All that happens in our lives and through our lives is His active hand upon our circumstances, teaching us to trust Him to do the impossible. Every test He carries us through becomes a testimony of His faithfulness that we can share with others. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has equipped you, empowered you, and commissioned you to go out into the world and be useful to people who are going through the same kinds of trials He carried you through. To help them through their tribulations, to share His promises with them, and to testify of His faithfulness to you in your times of need. To share the message with them that God is faithful and will do what He promised in His time, every time. The only way we can see the work God is doing is for Him to reveal that work to us. His revelation is our invitation to help Him in the work. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. What was he talking about here? He's talking about us meeting people right where they are and making their life better because we're there. He's talking about putting our faith in God and our love for people into action. He's talking about pledging our lives to one another and to the Lord. That whatever it takes, wherever the Lord lead us, that we will lift each other up, shoulder each other's burdens, speak the truth in love, pray for each other's needs without ceasing, to never leave and never forsake each other. If one of us falls, the rest of us should seek to restore and encourage the person in the race that we run. Why salt? Well, salt is used throughout the Bible as a symbol of loyalty and friendship, of hospitality and faithfulness. It also has antiseptic and cleansing properties. Salt is a necessary ingredient in our food. It makes it more palatable. It's easier to get through a big plate of food that is seasoned and has some flavor than a plate that has no flavor and that is bland. Or maybe you're eating something that's very different than what you're used to, like Thai food is for me. It's outside my normal range of culinary experience. I eat it, but I don't know if I like it. Maybe it tastes weird, or it's a struggle to eat it. But if you add some salt to it, it makes it easier to eat, because the taste of salt is something you know. In Job chapter 6, verse 5, the Living Bible puts it this way. A man complains when there's no salt in his food. And how tasteless is the uncooked white of an egg? My appetite is gone when I look at it. I gag at the thought of eating it. In the same way, when we are available to lend a hand or a heart to someone who's going through a tough time, it's easier for them to get through it. Salt is necessary for life. When we don't get enough of it in our diets, our body systems are out of balance, and we crave salt. In the same way, when people are going through a tough time, they crave someone who can help. Not someone who spouts scripture in a cookie-cutter Christianese answers, but someone who loves them and loves God enough to be there with them through the fire and the flood, and to share with them the answers God has given them as they earnestly sought Him in a similar situation. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16, Paul says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." Think about this passage for a while we take a quick break, and we'll talk more about salt when we come back. Stay tuned.
My comfort, my shelter. How to love people. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now you know how to love people.
You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365. We're continuing with Be the Salt of the Earth. Here's Pastor Mike.
Hi, welcome back. Let's talk some more about salt and what it means to be salty. Salt is an antiseptic and a preservative. Salt kills germs, and bacteria will not grow in salt. That's why you salt meat to cure it. From ancient times, people in the Middle East rubbed their newborn babies in salt to prevent infection and to toughen their skin. This practice is even mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 4. God, speaking metaphorically of the humble beginnings of the city of Jerusalem, said this, "On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes." If we are salt, our saltiness can rub off on people and help protect them and preserve them. By the testimony of our lifestyle and our willingness to be there for them, to be His love and His light and His hands, we can help them get rid of the junk of the world and lead them to Jesus, who will preserve them from the corruption of the world. Salt in Scripture is symbolic of cleansing. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we read of one of the miracles of Elisha, where God heals the water and farmland around Jericho by having Elisha throw out salt into the spring. It says, "The men of the city said to Elisha, 'Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad, and the land is unproductive.' 'Bring me a new bowl,' he said, 'and put salt in it.' So they brought it to him. Then he went out into the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, 'This is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive.' And the water has remained wholesome to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken." Salt is symbolic of loyalty and friendship. Even today, it is still common in the Middle East for people to pledge friendship or confirm a covenant by eating food containing salt. When men ate together, they became friends. There are two Arabic expressions, "There is salt between us," and "He has eaten of my salt," meaning a partaking of hospitality, which cemented friendship. Once an Arab has received into his tent even his worst enemy and has eaten salt with him, you know, in food, he is bound to protect his guest as long as he remains. Covenants were generally confirmed by sacrificial meals, and salt is always present. Since salt is a preservative, it has become symbolic of an enduring covenant. When God instituted the sacrificial system in Leviticus, he commanded that the grain offering be salted, signifying a salt covenant with the Israelites. And when God gave the kingship to David, he confirmed it with salt. In Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord says, "Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings." And in Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, God tells the priests, "Whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your regular share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring." And of David's kingdom, in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5, he says, "Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt?" Being the salt of the earth means taking our relationship with our neighbors seriously. It means to make their lives easier to get through, to love them where they're at, and then do whatever it takes to help them get wherever God wants them. It means enter into a covenant with them to care for them and protect them physically and spiritually. Meet their right now needs as best as you can, and then show them the Lord in all that we do. If they do not know him, they will meet him in our lifestyle and in our testimony. St. Francis of Assisi said this. He said, "Preach Christ always. Use words if necessary." We give them God's love and live the light of the gospel as we do what we can to help them get through what they're going through and help them get where they're going. Our Christianity must be more than the words we profess. If our actions do not match up with our preaching, we are just noise. James puts it this way in James chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. He said, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, be warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." We need to make sure we salt people's lives enough. Bland food is pretty bad. We need to actively seek to love and encourage and edify each other, to always have salt to bring to every encounter. We need to always have the joy of the Lord with us and in us, always to have the hope of salvation in us, always to have his words in us, always to have his promises in us, all of them ready to share at a moment's notice. If we do not keep those things ready, if we let the issues of our lives crowd out our joy and our hope and his salvation and his promises and his faithfulness in our lives, we lose our saltiness. In the words of Jesus, "But what if the salt loses its saltiness? How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear." We become bad salt. We're not useful to the kingdom of God, and we're not useful to the people around us. We become Eeyore Christians. Remember Eeyore? He's that depressed, stuffed donkey Winnie the Pooh hangs out with. Eeyore Christians sound kind of like this. "Praise the Lord, brother. God is teaching me through my troubles." We say the words, but the meaning of them is not in us. Here's one I hate. "Thank the Lord for getting me through this week." What? If the joy of the Lord is in you, you should be excited about whatever the week has brought you. God is doing a mighty work in your life and in your circumstances. When they say it like that, thank God for getting me through the week, it sounds like that person is forgetting the Lord through the week. Yeah, I know, I'm guilty too. All of us are like that sometimes, and it should not be. We need a paradigm shift. Do we believe what the Lord said to us? If we do, we'd let His peace come over us, and we'd let His joy fill us, even through the rough times. The Apostle Paul believed the message. He went through horrific trials, but he never forgot where his joy came from. And because of that, he was an effective minister of the gospel. Here's his testimony. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, the Apostle Paul says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, in danger from my countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often been gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. But later in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. And that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, Paul reminded the people. He said, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardships. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Too little salt is bland, but too much is bitter. You want some salt in your food, but too much salt and you can't eat it. A little salt in the soil is necessary for plants to grow, but too much salt in the land and the land becomes barren. Similarly, if someone is lost and in the dark, you don't want to shine a bright light in their face and blind them. Remember what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks? If someone is lost in the dark, beating them over the head with a flashlight and condemning them for being lost won't make them run to the light. We can't force people into the light. All we can do is be the light and the love and the helping hand of God and let God do the leading. We need to speak the truth in love and never compromise the truth to be socially acceptable, but we need to let the Spirit lead us. Sometimes it means we bite our tongues and let the Lord do the work in His timing. Sometimes it means we bring the light to them gradually by our actions, and once our actions have spoken, we bring them to the light with our words. Too many times we want to, in our own strength, evangelize everybody and tell them that they need to repent because they are sinners, and we beg and plead with them to turn to God. While all of this is true, too often people turn away from the message and become defensive and defiant. We've made our message too salty and they can't partake it. We need to season a little more gradually. Evangelism is an ongoing process. They need to see that we live what we profess and that we are happy people and that they want what makes us happy. So how do we be the salt of the earth? We'll answer that question when we come back from this break. Stay tuned.
And now it's time for Great Prayers of the Bible. Number 1, Daniel's Prayer. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and has turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who have made for yourself a name that endures to this day. We have sinned and have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, O God, hear the petitions and prayers of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. That's one of the great prayers of the Bible.
You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365.
Jesus.
We're continuing with Be the Salt of the Earth. Here's Pastor Mike.
Hi, welcome back. So, how do we be the salt of the earth? We need to live His love and His light, and be available to do what His love and His light and His Spirit directs us. If we're suited up and ready to play, He'll put us into the game. Remember that we must first fill our hearts with love, because if we don't really love the people we minister to, it's not ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, Paul puts it like this: If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Then we need to clothe ourselves with His light. We need to know His word and His promises and His life. If you have His love and you have His truth, you can speak His truth in love, and His truth can set someone free. But you can't speak until they will listen, and they won't listen until they know how much you love them, and they won't know how much you love them until you show them. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, Paul says, Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive what other grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord has forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, John says, This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, as we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother is in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And later in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, James adds, If anyone considers himself religious, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 23, Jude says, But you, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothes stained by corruptible flesh. Paul, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, and later in verse 9 and 10, says this. He said, Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Being the salt of the earth isn't just a good idea. It's the commandment of God. Helping and encouraging and loving people into the kingdom of God is our purpose and our responsibility before God as Christians. And we need to joyfully go for it. In Luke chapter 6, verses 35 through 38, Jesus promises a blessing to us on this earth if we are good to people. He says, "But love your enemies, and do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." There's also an eternal blessing for putting His words into action in our lives, and an eternal penalty for not obeying what He commands us to do. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus told them, He said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels are with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me.' Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life." We're not saved by our good works, but if we are not led by the Spirit to do good works, to share His love and His light with others, to put our faith into practice, we do not have the faith that can save us. He is not our Lord if we do not do what He says. Love is more than just a word or a feeling. Love is our commitment to one another and to the Lord that whatever it takes, wherever the Lord leads us, that we will lift each other up, shoulder each other's burdens, speak the truth in love, pray for each other's needs without ceasing, never leave, and never forsake each other. If one of us falls, the rest of us will seek to restore and encourage him in the race that we run. Whatever it takes is a good start. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word and for your love. Thank you for the message today and for the opportunity and responsibility you've given us to be your hands and your heart and your word to the people in our lives. Lord, we've fallen short of your goal for us so many times. So many opportunities to show your joy and testify of your faithfulness we've let slip by. So many times we have said be warm and be fed and have not done what we could to help the people in need around us. So many times we've let the needy people all around us go by without our even thinking that they are loved and that they have needs that we can fulfill in their lives. Lord, change our hearts. Give us your eyes to see and your ears to hear and your heart to love and your compassion to help. God, mold us into a useful people, ready to be the salt of the earth wherever you need us. We give you our lives in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. And everybody listening to this message said, amen. Be the salt of the earth this week. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Be the Salt of the Earth with Michael Packard, pastor and ministry coordinator for Practically Righteous Ministries. For more information about this program, visit our website at www.berighteous.com. If this program has encouraged you in your walk with Christ, drop us an email and let us know. Our address is radio@berighteous.com. Thanks for listening. You are listening to Practically Righteous Net Radio on Live 365.